right, and we are back again with another episode of Octagon Control. And as usual, I am your host, Nikolai Gianti. And with me today, I have a very special guest, Autumn Gordon. She's a jiu-jitsu competitor. She is 16 years old, I believe. She is also the person that gave me cauliflower ear. So she has forever left a permanent mark with me. But overall, I've watched and rolled with her, and I've been very impressed. She's an outstandingly talented young woman. And Autumn Gordon, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Now, first, I just want to know how you got into this, because this obviously isn't the typical girls sport, or really a sport for most normal people, I would say. There's something wrong with us just for doing this.
Yeah, well, at first I wanted to go into law enforcement, and so I've always grown up with a family who hunts, so I know how to shoot a gun, and so I felt confident in that ability. And I told my dad when I was in sixth grade that I wanted to start any type of martial arts to get myself prepared for that. And so after a while, my parents let me start martial arts, and then my family got into it. So,
yeah, you know, I've rolled with you. I've rolled with your brother. Both of you are very, very talented. He's now at Ohio State, but has it always sort of been a family thing, sort of all you jumped in together, or were you the first one that sort of decided you wanted to do something and then your brother kind of came along with you?
I was the first one to start it, and then everyone came after me. But, yeah, I was the first one to officially start martial arts, and about a month later, maybe, my brother started. So.
And then, you know, so you started before. Did you start solely for the law enforcement? Or, because I know you're a huge Rousey fan. I've seen the shirts. Did you start jiu-jitsu and sort of from her, or was it you doing jiu-jitsu and then all of a sudden you see this girl that's just, you know, destroying other women in the UFC, and you sort of went, that's it?
Yeah, I was first the law enforcement, and then I saw Ronda Rousey, and then she became my idol, and so that's how that all got around.
Yeah, and, you know, for anyone that's watched you, you're definitely, I've watched you snatch arm bars, and really you're looking for a new way every time. I think I've even shown you one way to hit it that you like. So how has it been just trying to sort of expand your game? You know, does it get harder to get that armbar as you get more well-known?
It does get a little harder to get that armbar as people start to know me, because then they know, like, this is what she's going to try to do. That's what she's comfortable with. And so for me, I have to work on not only the armbar, and I'm trying to move not away from it, but expand my game to set things up with the armbar.
Yeah, and, you know, nothing against you, but you're very small. What, you're 5 foot, 5'1", maybe 105 soaking wet. I mean, you're a small girl. So, I mean, I've watched people that I know who are 145 I've seen you roll with in competitions. And is that just out of difficulty finding people?
Yeah, there's not really anyone my size, so I will tend to move up in a couple brackets, and I'll end up fighting the 145ers and so on.
But that, I mean, that really is a testament to your skill, and, you know, for a lot of people that know the true sort of jiu-jitsu philosophy is that size doesn't matter, and you're sort of showing that as you roll in these heavier and heavier weight classes.
Yeah, I would like to be able to show that size doesn't matter, that you can do anything with the techniques as long as you have them.
Now let's get into this whole wrestling thing. I sort of know the background. I know, you know, you went from straight jiu-jitsu, now you want to do the fighting thing. The wrestling issue came about, and if you can explain sort of how that went down and what you're doing.
Well, I've gotten a little too comfortable in my back by now, and so if I want to go into MMA, I need to get on top. And my takedowns, I'll admit, were never that great. And so I've been looking into finding better ways to make myself get on top, and I started judo, and now I'm starting wrestling, and it's already made a huge difference in my takedowns, and I'm just looking to expand that, and I'm looking to make myself get on top and finish it from there and finish it quickly, and that way when I go to MMA, I'm prepared.
Yeah, and Now, who originally... I know you had to transfer schools because of a silly rule either in Ohio or just in your county. What exactly is that?
It was the state law that since I live in one district and I go to school in another, and in the school district I'm in does not have wrestling, so I wanted to go to... Since I go to a private school, I wanted to go to the public school that I was going to school in the district in, because they had a really good wrestling team. And the school district that I live in does not. And because of Title IX, if I lived in the district of where I was going to wrestle and I went to a private school, I would be able to. But since I live in a different district, I'm not.
Bunch of... If you know anything about that, then it makes sense, but...
Yeah.
But, now, let's... I do want to continue with the MMA thing. And I first met you down at Lancaster MMA. And, you know, Vince Herrmann there, obviously. Tom Good's a very talented wrestler. But when I got there, it was sort of when you were just starting the stand-up. And I saw the beginning when it was... I might not have much technique, but I'm going to come forward and I'm going to hit you a few times. Who have you been working with, or what have you been focusing on specifically to make it so that you're this well-rounded fighter and you're not just a jiu-jitsu specialist?
Well, I've been going to different practices, so I've been separating it first. So I'll do like a specific class of wrestling, I'll do a specific class of jiu-jitsu, gi and no gi, then I'll do just judo, just boxing, just kickboxing, and then I'll mix it all together occasionally. And, like, I have a lot of different coaches right now, obviously, because I have a lot of different sports that I'm doing in the mixed martial arts combined together. So I just keep adding to what I think would be best for me, and then I build upon that, and then I'll have them give feedback on what I need to do better.
Yeah, you know, it's got to help, too. I mean, you're obviously close with Rocky Edwards, who's a professional fighter. I think you've, just by word of mouth, I think a few more people know about you than may have before. And what's it like having sort of, you have a very good support system, I'll say that, between your dad and your brother and everyone else. You know, what's that like, just to know that there's always these people 100% behind you?
It's really great. I cannot tell you how fantastic it is to have my whole family supporting me and have all my friends supporting me, because everyone wants to see me do great things in this. And my dad and mom have sacrificed a lot just to give me to all my practices, to have the gym still there. And my brother always was there to roll with me if I needed to, if I had a competition coming up. So it's just amazing to have such a great support group.
And most recently, I saw that you did have a sponsor. If you could sort of explain how that came about, because I know Lancaster, a lot of people don't, but it's a very small sort of area in southern Ohio, and it's got to be a bit difficult to get exposure. What was that like, having them sort of come up to you, if that's how it went down exactly?
It was interesting how it came up. I went to Indianapolis, and I competed against a good friend of mine now. Her name is Patty, and she beat me, and so she is in the adults division, and she found that I was really skilled, even though I did lose, and I handled the loss very well, she said. And so she had a friend who had a company for geese and t-shirts and all that, and so she recommended me to him to sponsor. And right now he's not technically my sponsor because of wrestling, because I could get in trouble for that. He's supporting me, so I'm wearing his clothing and stuff, but it's not a sponsorship, but it's complicated right now because I could get in trouble wrestling at school for it.
Right. So. Let me give you a tip. What's the plan with MMA? Is this once you turn 18, you're going to take an amateur fight?
Yeah, I'm planning as soon as I want turn 18, I'll take an amateur fight, so I got a lot of room to cover till then.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, you're going to be a tough debut for anyone. And I mean, I know from personal experience, it's very hard to find fights, especially I mean, I've gone up a weight class twice because it's 135 because no one wants to do 125. You're going to have that same issue because you're probably going to be 105. You might have to jump to 115.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it's going to go. Obviously, you'll mature in 2 years also. But I can't wait to see how your game lasts. You know we always have an open invite up at Griffin Roll for you. It'll be great to have you up in Cleveland if you ever do come up. But definitely, you know, it was very – I came into Lama, you know, fresh. And you guys obviously welcomed me a lot. And I can see where you all get it from, that family atmosphere.
Yeah.
But that will wrap this up. Again, this is Autumn Gordon. Is there anyone you want to thank before I sort of let you go?
Well, my coaches, it'd take a while to list them, but a couple of the main ones are Dustin, Ware, Keith, Vince, and Herman. Tom Good always works with me. My coaches from wrestling, Coach Bentley, and just my parents and my brother, because they always supported me through this.
All right. Well, that's Autumn Gordon, a 16-year-old jiu-jitsu competitor, looking to make her MMA debut in a couple years, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from her again. And now we are back again, joined with my co-host now, Chris Manning, visiting from lovely Athens, Ohio. Chris, as usual, gotta ask, how you doing today, other than feeling slightly under the weather?
Good, just tired. The USA just lost to Colombia soccer, which is, like, not surprising, but disappointing nonetheless. It's cold, man. Like, it has gotten cold, and I am, like, ready to just, like, bundle myself up and be warm. Like, I used to love the cold, and now, like, I went for a run this morning, got, like, a mile and a half in, and was just like, yep, can't even breathe right now.
Yeah, you know, snow is really cool, like, when you're 8 and you get school off because of it. When you're an adult and have to go into the real world still, or you're in college where they don't give you a snow day unless they physically have to because it's negative degrees outside like we had some last year, you aren't that lucky. But we do have some pretty good fights this week, sort of on a few different cards, but there are some solid fights, and at least intriguing fights. You know, I do like the Mark Hunt Verdum fight. I think it has the potential to go one way, and realistically it should go only one way, but we know how Mark Hunt is. We know it's heavyweight and it can end at any time. We know Mark Hunt has a chin, albeit with very poor dieting. And then we have the rematch of Will Brooks and Michael Chandler. That's in Bellator. I believe Bonner Ortiz is on this card also.
Well, that's the headliner.
We've went on our rants about Bellator and just these name fights that no one really cares about. But
to be honest with you, I actually prefer, like, I'll probably end up watching the UFC card because it's pay-per-view and it'd be easier to find Bellator later. But this is the five fights they're throwing on their main card on Saturday. It starts off with King Mo versus Joe Vedapel, which is, you know, King Mo probably going to stun Mike Richmond Namfan, which.
Like, and we've had Richmond on the show plenty of times. Always fun.
Nice guy. And they, you know, Nam's like a solid, like 135. Like, they match up pretty.
And yeah, Richmond's going to 35 for this fight.
Right. So that matches up pretty nicely. Stand up anyway. I'm gonna you have Manahoff and Joe Schilling at middleweight. Like, they're both kickboxing. They're both kickboxing because they both fought. Like, that's just gonna be violent.
I love Manahoff. Melvin Manahoff is just a monster.
But like Schilling's probably gonna be so much more violent. Like, that fight's gonna be awesome. Then you have Chandler, Will Brooks, obviously, which is really great. And then, you know, Ortiz and Bonner, whatever. We don't need to, like, hash that. But, like, that's a better card, and you can, like, than the UFC main card this weekend. I'm just saying. Like,
overall, yes.
Kane Verdum would tilt it.
My only grief is obviously putting a fight like Ortiz Bonner as the main event when there's a title fight below it. Doesn't make sense to me.
But you could also argue that, like, that takes up more, like, that's going to draw more eyeballs, like casual eyeballs, I guess.
It will. The fans that remember Tito Ortiz or Stefan Bonner from his wars, you know, those are obviously going to remember him. But we also have World Series of Fighting. Originally, it was supposed to be a lightweight title fight between Melvin Gillard and Justin Gaethje. And Gaethje looked very good against Nick Newell. I think you and I had discussed that, and it's nothing against Newell, but we sort of, I think that's where we saw where his disability, and it, you don't make excuses, but that's where the disability came into to effect. When you go against a very, very talented fighter, and Gaethje's a young, very talented fighter, obviously power in his hands, and it's now reported that Gallard missed weight. He was 158.8, and he's not going to cut almost 4 pounds in 2 hours.
Yeah.
But, Chris, let's...
50% of his purse he's going to lose from missing weight. So.
That's a lot of money. Let's give our quick predictions. I think there's two fights we can predict on that card. First, obviously, is the co-main event, Gallard and Gaethje. Gallard, obviously, is a world beater when he's on his own. When he is focused, when he's on, you know, he can beat anybody in the world. We haven't seen that in a few years. He's missed weight a lot recently. And Gaethje's a guy who I think can sort of weather a storm, has more technical skills than Gallard, and if he really wants to, you can just take him down and wrestle him for a few rounds. And that's nothing against Gallard's takedown defense. Gallard has good takedown defense, but Gallard's going to get dragged into deep waters, I think. I think we might get a finish in the second or third round, though. I think Gaethje's going to put too much pressure, and unless he gets clipped, because we have seen Gaethje's willingness to brawl, I think this is Gaethje's fight to win.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Gaethje, I think, is one of the guys, like, how he progresses over the next year is going to be super interesting, or if he ultimately competes in World Series and fighting for a long time, because I think he's a guy that has the potential to do a lot of really awesome things at 155, and I think, like, Gallard's kind of the right guy. Like, he should be Gallard, especially if Gallard, you know, if he could make weight, that kind of tells you something, like, unless he gives him more energy. You know, it could be one of those weird things where he actually has more energy and doesn't cut as much weight, but you got to think Gallard's going to be a little bit depleted. And Gaethje probably should stun on him here. You know, it's a pretty good style matchup for him. You know, Gallard sometimes is really on, sometimes he's not. If he gets clipped, I think Gaethje gets it done. I think, you know, and they're also former training partners as well, so it's not like he's going to be unfamiliar with. I mean, I think with some guys that have fought Melvin, even if they beat him, I can think of instances where his quickness and his that explosiveness he has causes some problems. Like, I think of the Jim Miller fight. Miller ultimately won that fight, but there's a point where Gallard kind of, I believe, rocked him, and, you know, kind of was, like, clearly quicker than him, and, you know, he has that ability. A guy like Gaethje should be a pro for, however, I don't think.
Yeah, I definitely agree. The next fight on the card, it's Yushin Okami and David Branch for the middleweight title. Okami, I think, is a guy that's not over the hill yet, and I think he has a better all-around skill set than Branch. Branch likes to out-wrestle guys. Okami has very good takedown defense. He's worked with outstanding wrestlers, Chael Sonnen, and we've seen how well that takedown defense has evolved since sort of that Chael Sonnen fight where he was wrestled for 3 rounds. I think his striking, while relatively simple, is good. He has good technical skills, and I think that's what's going to get it done. I think he can keep it on the feet, and I think he's going to outstrike Branch for 3 rounds, or 5 rounds, excuse me.
Yeah, I also could see him, I don't quite see how he's going to, his striking is so rudimentary that I don't know if that's, like, the best case. Like, Branch's isn't exactly, you know, fearsome, but it's not like Okami's, like, probably leagues better than him. I actually think he's going to take him down. I'm going to look at his record really quick. But I can think of times where, despite Branch's jiu-jitsu ability, I can just picture him getting overwhelmed, like, by a guy that's just bigger. And Okami definitely is a guy who's just, like, he's a huge 85. Like, you could probably argue he could fight big at 205. I mean, and if you want to go look at, you know, his UFC record, if once this loads, like, you know, the one of his losses to Bahares, that was a ground loss. Just load. I don't know why you won't load, sure, dog. So, he lost to Gerald Harris, who was a wrestler. So we only had 2 losses, so I was wrong kind of in there. But you think, I still don't think he's exactly, like, physically strong enough to kind of keep Bahares off his back, or to stay, like, on the feet, or, like, get top position on Okami. And I think Okami probably gets tired late. Like, he's shown to fade, and I think Okami probably wins 3 out of 5 rounds in kind of a boring, kind of grinding fight. I don't see that fight being particularly interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's exactly the most intriguing or it's going to be the most exciting. I do think it's one where Okami sort of gets enough done. Let's move on. Fights tonight. We have Will Brooks and Michael Chandler, the rematch. I believe Brooks won a split decision last time, and it was one that was largely contested. I haven't had the opportunity to recently watch the fight, so I can't make my verdict. But I have to go with Michael Chandler here. I actually scored the second Alvarez fight for him. I think he's a very talented fighter. Again, he's another guy that has a willingness to sort of brawl every once in a while, and I think that gets him into trouble. He got hurt against Alvarez, but I think he has outstanding wrestling. I think he's always improving, and he has a very, very talented camp around him. I have to go with Chandler here. I don't think it's going to be as close.
Yeah, I think Chandler's healthy, it seems like. I think last time, you know, part of the thing was his game plan. You know, Brooks isn't, like he kind of fought him the same way I think he's going to fight Eddie Alvarez. That didn't really translate. I think Michael Chandler gets this. I think he wins pretty handily. But again, like that might be kind of Will Brooks. That could have been as good as that. That may have been Will Brooks' peak, but in a sense. But I think just Chandler's too talented. Like I still believe he is the best. It's between him and Habib for the best young lightweight, like quote unquote prospect. Like I think it's pretty close between those two guys. I would probably edge Chandler because I think it's striking. Probably ends up being better, and his wrestling is good, but, like, I mean, Habib is, like, insanely great with this top game. So I'm not really sure there, but I guess, but I just think Chandler's, like, still the best lightweight belt, so I think he gets it done. I think it wouldn't shock me if he finishes him either. I just don't see how he loses that fight twice.
Yeah, and you know, I think bringing up the fact that...
I had him winning the first time for whatever that... I had it, like, it was close... But I had him winning the first time, and I don't think it was the correct decision.
And I believe Will Brooks took that fight on about a week's notice. And at that point, you know, your game plan's set. You know, you're not going to change it. And especially on a week's notice, it's going to be hard to switch up a fighter like that. So it's understandable that it was a lot closer than what it was. Again, we're both going with Michael Chandler. But let's move on to tomorrow night. UFC 180, originally supposed to be Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum. And that was a fight that I was really interested to see. You know, Werdum has outstanding jiu-jitsu, and his Muay Thai looks incredible. You know, now that he's working with Kings MMA, Rafael Cordero, it just looks outstanding. You know, we saw it in, I think, the Mark Hunt fight, or not the Mark Hunt fight, the Big Country fight was the first fight where we really saw him put everything together. And then the Travis Brown fight was just incredible to watch. You know, he was out striking him, better cardio. He looked solid.
Yeah. How do you kind of see this fight playing itself out?
I personally, I think that Fabricio Werdum should any day of the week win this fight. You know, he has better technical Muay Thai, in my opinion. He has a better gas tank. He's in better shape, better jiu-jitsu, better wrestling. Mark Hunt has solid takedown defense. It's really developed, you know, as of late. And he's got a hell of a chin. But he's taking this fight on a little over 3 weeks' notice. He comes in extremely heavy. And I think Verdum's one of these guys that has enough tools where he doesn't get sucked into a brawl, or he doesn't get sucked in going one punch for one punch with Mark Hunt, because Mark Hunt's going to win that fight. We saw Mark Hunt, how gassed he was in that Bigfoot fight, and that was a fight, but it wasn't an absurd pace by any stretch of the imagination, although it was busy. I think the key, Mark Hunt's going to have to land a big strike. It's going to have to be a walk-off KO like everyone, and if he doesn't get that in the first few rounds, or doesn't chip away at Werdum in the first few rounds, I think Mark Hunt's durable and Werdum doesn't have knockout power. He has knockout power, but not. It's not, you know, one punch completely done like we see with Mark Hunt. I think he's going to get a very lopsided decision victory here.
I think Werdum submits him. I think Werdum pretty much has the advantage everywhere, to be honest with you. Like, there's not a area of this fight where you think about it and you go, Mark Hunt's better than Werdum, even space striking. I mean, he's got the power and he's got the punching, but Werdum showed against Travis Brown that he can strike in space with kicks. he's going to control the distance. I think he can probably get takedowns at some point in this fight. I mean, there's been this statistic going out this week, you know, saying that, you know, he's got the highest second highest takedown defense rate in the UFC or something like that. Like, I mean, I think about who he's fought. Like,
yeah,
I can't think of him. He hasn't fought a guy who's that good as a grappler. Like, he just hasn't. You know, he's fought mostly strikers in the past year, like in this run that he's had. You know, even the like, I just can't think of him really getting taken down. So I see him maybe winning one round, probably maybe the first, and then he goes, oh crap, but then I think Verdum kind of cruises. I think he ultimately gets a trip takedown, and I think he submits it. I really think he's going to get him like a guillotine or a rear naked choke or something, like some sort of choke in like the third or fourth. I think, because I do kind of think Markham taking this on short and having to cut so much weight and him not having great cardio as it is, I think that really like doesn't hurt him. I think, you know, Verdum had the advantage of a long training camp. He's been in Mexico for a month. Like, he's probably used to the altitude. Like, I just can't see Mark Hunt really adjusting that. I just think he gets wrecked pretty easily, to be honest with you. I can't, other than him just tagging Verdum early and that just literally changes the whole complexion of the fight and giving him, or he just hits him once and he goes down like that, I just can't see him winning this fight.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think we're both on the same page here. We're kind of backtracking on this. Let's get to the co-main event. We have Jake Ellenberger, Calvin Gastelum. Chris, I'll let you handle this one.
This is a huge fight for Calvin Gastelum. Who, you know, another guy we got to see if he makes weight today. No, we don't. That's not a given in his recent history. Here's the thing. I personally think Jake Ellenberger wins this fight. A lot of people are picking Calvin Gastelum. I can understand why. He's a young up and coming guy. But you think about Jake Ellenberger, and you know he has looked kind of different in his past few fights. I think that'd be fair. I don't know if you agree or not. He hasn't looked exactly, you know, like the Jake Ellenberger that, you know, KO'd Neymar Carter, KO'd or dominated Diego Sanchez and TKO Jake Shield. He hasn't looked as aggressive, I guess is the best way to put it. But, you know, consider who he fought. He fought Robbie Lawler, who, you know, is eight bigger than him and hit him very early and kind of controlled that fight. And he fought Rory, who very much was kind of fighting at a style at that point that was very neutralizing. And, you know, he couldn't really get off his punches. You think about the last guy he fought that kind of fit into what, that can give him trouble, like it was Kamen, and like, he rocked him, you know, he fought Mark Gort, KO'd him, beat Haran. I can't see Gastelum really being able to take Ellenberger down, and I'm not, like, super high on Gastelum as a striker at this point. I think this is early, and I think Gastelum's going to get KO'd. I really, really think Ellenberger has the power at this point. If he comes out and is aggressive early, I think he KO's Gastelum in round two. I just can't see Gastelum getting Ellenberger down, and I think that's his best way to victory, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you know, as much as, you know, a lot of people, and maybe overhyped is a slight word for Mike Dolce, you know, sometimes it's a confidence issue and a confidence factor to know that this is a guy that is going to make sure I make weight. And Gastelum doesn't have that anymore, and he's had weight issues since leaving Dolce. We saw in the Musoke fight, you know, he was beaten that first round. And sort of came back and started putting things together. But Ellenberger's a much better fighter than that. And Ellenberger has the wrestling to stuff the takedowns. And he has talent. He has good striking.
You know, he's training at GFC, which is where Ronda Rousey is based out of, the Four Horsewomen. Travis Brown is there. He's, you know, and like, I know he was at Kings and he was with Cordero and he's with Munoz, and that was a good camp for him. But I mean, maybe the change of scenery is a good thing for him, especially because of how good GFC's been. It says something if you have guys like Travis Brown leaving from Jackson's to go train there for periods of time.
Yeah, you know, I have to agree with that. I think Ellenberger, you know, as much as people like to say his cardio doesn't hold up in the end, I think it's still going to be better than Gastelum's. I think he's going to have better striking, and I think he can stuff the takedowns. I'm going to go with Jake Ellenberger here. I can see Gastelum winning it, but I'd be very surprised, to be honest.
I very much would too. I did, like, it's just a huge jump for me to say he, you know, his last fight he beat Nicholas Muskoki. You know, he beat Rick Story via in a split decision. Yeah.
Chris, let's move on. Let's go to Ricardo Lamas, Dennis Bermudez, and I will hype up my MMA man crush before you slam my dreams to the ground.
No, I was going to tell you this. I'm picking Dennis Bermudez in this fight. I'll tell you why.
Let's hear it.
So I think Ricardo Lamas is still like a top five-ish featherweight, right? I think he's right there. I think he's wrestling and stopping when he can impose it his heart. But Bermudez is a really bad style matchup. Bermudez is tenacious, hits really hard. They're about the same size. I think Bermudez isn't going to be like physically weaker than Lamas, I don't think. I think Bermudez can, if he can stuff the takedowns, and that's really the key here, I think he can hit him enough on the feet to win this fight. I think if he stuffs the takedowns, I think the more, this is my idea, so I'm not going to take credit, but I think the more exciting this fight is, the better it is for Bermudez. If this is a boring kind of plodding fight, I think it's because Lamas and kind of gets on top and kind of is kind of roughing up, is roughing up Bermudez, but I think if Bermudez gets in the feet here, this is a very open fight, and I think he can win.
And I'll give you the credit. Luke Thomas is the one that said that during his 180 yeah. predictions.
Yeah.
But it's very true. And Bermudez is an outstanding wrestler. A lot of people, I think, forget that just because we've seen him in a lot of brawls. And I don't think we really remember when he was ragdolling Pablo Garza in his UFC debut. But he still has that wrestling. He still has very good takedowns. And his striking has looked very good. He still gets hit a little bit more than I'd like to see from a guy at that caliber. But, you know, he's learning head movement. He is getting much better in his striking. And he's a very powerful, stocky, low-to-the-ground featherweight. He's 5'6". I think he's as strong, if not stronger, than Ricardo Lamas, because this is just a physical freak when it comes to strength. He hits hard, and you know his submission defense, which was once one of his weaknesses. I think we saw it a lot in that Diego Brandão fight, is really becoming one of his strengths. You know, his transitions and his passes, just look what he was able to do to Clay Guida. And although Clay Guida hasn't done what I think people may have expected from him at 145 pounds, that's still Clay Guida. And Bermudez dominated him. I have to agree with you. I think if it gets very boring and we see Ricardo Lamas where he's just sort of clinching, throwing a couple strikes, turns into a boring fight, I think that could go Ricardo Lamas's way. But I think over three rounds, I think Dennis Bermudez, and this is a guy who has a gas tank and can push a pace, I think it's going to be too much for Lamas.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a very good chance he wins this fight. And that could be understating his striking. But I don't think he looked particularly good in his last fight either. I believe he didn't look really as good as he did before he fought Jose Aldo.
Let's move on. The one prelim that you and I sort of have a rooting interest in, but I think we can look at it as unbiased as possible. And full disclosure, I was at Strong Style this week getting some cross-training in.
I'm not biased at all, so.
Yeah. But Leslie Smith looked very good in her fight with Jessamyn Duke. And I think Sarah Kaufman, that was short notice. She hadn't been used to the weight class. And you know, she was going from 125 up to 135, and she's a smaller 35er, but Jessica's a smaller 35er also. I think what we saw Jessica do with Kaufman, and I've watched it again, and I thought she won the fight, but I saw an interesting point, and I think you pointed this out when we watched the weigh-ins. When she fought Alexis Davis, it was either you or someone else said she looked a little soft. Or sucked out, so to speak. And she said she had a horrible weight cut, and I think that's visible. I think this comes down to if Leslie Smith can brawl with Jessica. Jessica, I think, she's a talented boxer. She has good striking. And I don't think she has to be as fearful about the takedown when it comes to Leslie Smith. That's not really part of Smith's game. It depends on the pace. I'm going to pick Jessica. I think she's just a better technical fighter, and I think she's a more talented and has fought higher caliber opponents. But I also could see Leslie brawling this and landing a shot that, you know, that may put her down. Leslie Smith has powerful body shots, works with the Diaz, understands that pitter-patter style, and I think she could wear Jessica down, but I am going to pick Jessica in this one.
Yeah, I think here's the thing with Leslie. Like, I think Jessica's all is good. Like, Leslie, to me, she probably should be 125. She got the short notice call-up. Like mentioned, like, you know, coming in on a really short notice against Kaufman, not really an ideal situation. You know, she gets all this time to recoup. Like, she's still at a bigger weight. Jessica's probably a natural 135-er, despite the time she spent at 125. She's very big and strong. I think she's technical enough on the feet to kind of control how that plays out there. But if she gets, it does get, the wilder this fight gets, the better it is for Leslie Smith. I think if Jessica can kind of mix in some takedowns too, like I think if she can get one or two takedowns over the course of the fight and just kind of control the pacing and counter, like if we have effective counter punching, I think this is pretty much her fight to lose. But if it turns into a brawl, I think that the more, again, like, the wilder this fight gets, the more exchanges there are in this fight, the faster pace that it's at. Well, maybe not the pace is the right word, but in terms of just both of them just kind of gunning and just kind of swinging from the pocket, I think that really, really favors Leslie Smith.
So we're both...
I just can't see her... Like, the thing with, like, she's a, the quote-unquote, like, female Diaz brother, but I just don't think she all there has, like, the... Like, she's not as, like, rangy, which, like, is part of the reason that Diaz is there. So, like, she's, like, longer. Like, she's kind of got, like, a longer reach, but it's not like Nick where he can, like, slap that jab out there and just hit you, like, four or five. Like, what he did to BJ Penn. Like, you want to think, like, quintessential Nick Diaz, Nate Diaz. You think of what, and probably Nate did to Gray Maynard, and what Nick did to BJ Penn. I don't think she's really capable of that against Jessica.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Not very exciting. We both have the exact same picks, but...
it's okay.
I'm sure we're gonna get something wrong because, you know,
we always do.
Or at least Chris always does.
Most of the time. I mean, that's gonna happen though. If we ever actually one day keep record, and Jessica made way to 134. That's coming in now.
So that's under. That's good. That's.
I wonder. I you know, that'd be interesting to see. Like, I wonder how it is cutting weight in Mexico. Like, I feel like, you know, we've heard stories about Brazil now, but this is, UFC seems pretty interesting going back there. Nikolai, before we kind of wrap this up, I do want to ask you something. The UFC does say they're going to potentially take away Cain's title if he can't fight by March. What do you think about that?
Well, I got nervous. I thought we were going to say they're taking away flyweights. I figured that I was going to say that's just rude. But, no, it's tough. I think that's a very short timetable for a guy coming off. Was it a shoulder injury or a knee injury?
Meniscus and MCL.
That's a short timetable. I know it's 4 to 6 weeks, but that's a quick turnaround. And I think we've seen Cain gets injured a lot. March is kind of hopeful, and that's almost like best case scenario. I can understand where the UFC is coming from. It's hard to promote this guy that's constantly pulling out of fights. But he is the champ, and, you know, no one's going to forget what he's done to Junior, what he's done to Bigfoot, you know, what he's done to everyone. You know, no matter what, we're going to need to see this Verdum fight. But I think they could do it, but I don't think people will forget. It'll be like Dominic Cruz where, you know, it was taken away. But, you know, still, there's part of you that always wants to see him come back. I think Cain's a little different because of how shallow the heavyweight division is. And I think the reason for sort of the quick hook for his title is of how shallow it is. It's hard to make interesting fights without that belt and when your champ is constantly pulling out.
Yeah, I kind of can see it because he's been out for so long at that point. And, you know, honestly, like, if I'm Cain, like, that's not... I know, that, like, it sucks, but, like, that might be the worst in the world. Like, I know that sucks, but, like... I'm sure Dominic, like, even though he won so quickly, probably appreciated not having to, you know, fight, like, that soon, I guess.
Fight TJ Dillashaw in your first fight,
man? Or, like, having to fight, like, 4 hours. Like, having to fight a guy like that at that level early, like, that was probably, like, just to get your feeling back in the octagon. I mean, Cain will have been out for almost, we're getting close to, like, a year and a half.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, think about this. He said he wanted to fight in the meniscus because of Mexico, but think about the last time he fought on it. got KO'd in the first round by Junior. So, that, I think to me that says it all.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But we're going to wrap it up for today. As usual, got to thank the great Tommy Masano, ULT MMA, and MiddleEasy.com. And apparently, my dad, we have to thank him, too, for letting me get punched in the face and accumulate massive amounts of debt. But we'll be back again next week. We'll talk to you guys later.